The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our radio affiliates, coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west, everywhere, and on Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Don't forget, January 7th, we start the Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius XM Channel 204. Go ahead, Mal.
Yeah, when you got a guy like Miles Powell that you have to replace, that was, you know, the leader of that team the last couple of years, it's a big thing for them. You know, you got guys stepping into that leadership role that weren't there, that were kind of more role players previously. They also lost, you know, the point guard, McKnight, and they lost a couple other guys. So they have a lot of guys that are, you know, trying to step into these roles they haven't been before. And it's not working out for them so far, you know, with all the different practices. They had to shut down for 2 weeks because of COVID. So they had issues there right before the season. And just, you know, it's tough. It didn't work out for them so far. We'll see if they start to get it together as they get into the Big East. But right now, guys like Mamo Kalashvili, who's got to really step up, has been slow starting in a lot of these games, and it hasn't worked out for them. And their big transfer that they got from Harvard, tweaked his ankle in the first game against Louisville, hasn't played since.
They got killed on the boards in that game. I mean, absolutely killed. 38-22 in rebounds. They didn't really shoot that bad. 46% from the floor, 58% from downtown, which is really good, I thought. 14-24 from three. But when I watched them in the first half, I mean, I saw them miss like six straight threes. I mean, they couldn't hit anything in the first half. And I was like, wow, this game is so ugly. I just thought it was so sloppy in the first half. And they ended up losing by 13. So it is what it is. Why were they playing that game at Creighton? Was there? Is it like I don't understand why?
I think
why
it was
were they
some kind of
that?
Tournament situation? Like, is it, they're talking about a game that played before them on the broadcast during the game? So there must have been something where they had, you know, a couple teams show up and play some kind of tournament. I don't know if it's a made up tournament to make up for something else that got canceled or what, but they had some kind of thing going with a bunch of teams getting together.
Creighton played there tonight, and we were talking about them on the coast to coast. It was, they won 93-58 over Kennesaw State. 9-91-2-3. I had 36. I think I actually, I got to check, but I think I had, it was 33.5. I think that game ended. Didn't we say on the show today it ended at 36? I think Kennesaw was getting 36 when it was all said and done. They may have covered in that game. They did. If it was 36, they covered by one. And so I was on Kennesaw State with that number, that big number. When it first opened up, it was 33.5. We'll look at some of the other games in College Rack tonight and talk college football coming up.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For all in a bench, before I get into any kind of college football, because I've been talking about college football out the ying all week on Coast to Coast. And last night we did it on the bench with Joe Lisi. So we kind of went through all of his action. We'll get into the games here in a little bit. I just want to spend a second talking about Kyrie Irving, though. I got to tell you, like, I put him in the Primo Club, Moff. I just can't take it. Like, the Primo Club is like the smoke club. You remember we got the smoke club? That was smoke club is when people blow smoke up your derriere. And then the Primo Club is the prima donnas. We put him in the Primo Club. And I think he's Primo Club for sure. Get him a locker and a parking spot and a seat in the 19th hole lounge. Because this guy, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, seriously, I don't understand him. First of all, let me preface it by saying that he's a great player. There's no denying the guy's got mad game and, you know, breaks ankles, the whole deal. He can score from anywhere. He's got great handle. He can fill it up for sure. He's a magic man on the court when he plays. That's the point, though, when he plays. When he plays is never. I mean, this guy misses more games than I blow my nose. I mean, honestly, this guy, does he ever play? I mean, what does he play in about 20% of their games? It doesn't matter where he is. He just misses games. Like, he never plays. He's always injured. And I don't deny he's got incredible talent and game. When he's healthy, forget about it. The guy's a stud. I'm not going to judge his game. What I'm judging is, so, fair enough. Like, I think he's a great player. But my point is, A, he never played. He's always injured. He's just always injured. He misses entire seasons. He misses chunks, like nothing I've ever seen. And then secondly, like, so if you're such a badass, well then, you know, play more than 20% of the games. Like, what kind of badass plays 20 or 30% of the games and nothing else ever? Like, I mean, if you never play, you're not a badass. You just, you know, I like guys that can get through it, you know, that play. I expect guys to get injured. I expect guys to, you know, have their 2-week vacation. I get it. I know how it works in the NHL and in the NBA. Guys go on the shelf for a couple weeks with this or that, and they miss time and they sit around and they, you know, ride a bike and they eat food and walk around in their skivvies and act like they're injured. And they're really just, they have a minor problem and they just take a couple weeks off because of the grind. I get it. Now they call it load management and all this other nonsense. Kawhi Leonard never plays because he needs load management. I mean, the bottom line is he's a wussy. That's it. Like, because can you imagine telling Moses Malone or Dr. J or honestly, like Larry Bird or any, seriously. And don't even tell me I'm wrong. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. Michael Jordan. Can you imagine telling him to stop playing? Sit down. Take a rest. You need load management. You need to take tonight off because you play too much. Can you imagine telling Michael Jordan not to play? Seriously, like.
Wasn't that a big part of that first episode of the documentary, The Last Dance? Wasn't that first episode where they're talking about when he was in the playoffs for the first time and then wanted to sit him down and rest him and he got all, you know, pissed off with them and it was a big point of contention?
Of course. Like, that guy would never come out of a game. He would never sit for, you know, pansy ass, take a day or two off or a week off or 2 weeks off. So here's my thing. This guy comes out today with this candy ass press release where he talks about how he wants to make a statement. And so he's going to handle it himself so that the media doesn't portray it incorrectly. You know, like what he's talking about. He basically said they can't do it right, so I'm going to do it. So whatever I say, they misconstrue and they report it differently. That's what he was saying. Without a doubt, without a shred of doubt, that's exactly what he was saying. I'm issuing a press release because I'm not going to sit in front of the media. I'm not going to deal with the media in New York. I'm not going to deal with the national NBA media. I'm not going to answer their questions. I'm going to make a statement because I don't trust them to report what I say correctly. You know that's what he said, Moff. That's exactly what he said. He's like, I'm doing this because they will screw it up in not so many words. They will not tell the story correctly. That's what he did. He came out with a statement saying, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to show up. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go to the well with my teammates and try to win a championship for the Nets. That's what I'm going to try to do, which I have no problem with. What I have a problem with is that later in the day, they said that he allegedly is not going to deal with the media anymore. He's going to let his play speak for itself, and that he's going to, on and off the court, he's going to lead by example, and everything he does on the court and off will be self-explanatory. He doesn't need to do media. So that's what I heard. He's not going to deal with the media. Now, I said, look, if the guy wants to come out and have a statement, a press release statement, and say, I just want to convey this my way, and I don't trust that they'd handle it right. I'm just going to tell you exactly what my plan is for this season. I don't trust the media. I would have respected that more than to, if it's true that he's not going to do any interviews this year, and not going to deal with the media at all this year. If that's true, that's some BS. Okay. That's what that is. That's some absolute BS. Inject swearing here. That's some serious BS because, in my opinion, without a doubt, if he does it and never talks to the media the whole year, then I can guarantee you that Kevin Durant's going to do the same thing. And there's going to be guys league-wide that are going to start doing it. They're going to say, oh, well, if Kyrie's not going to talk to the media, then I'm not going to talk to the media. And the thing is, in my opinion, like, for instance, look at Anthony Davis, right? He just signed a Supermax $190 million deal, right? Look at LeBron James. He signed an 85 max two-year deal, right? So we already know that those two guys still do interviews with the media. And, after just about every game, LeBron James is doing the Derek Jeter where he, you know, answers all the questions straight up. Right at his locker, never says anything, but gives people something into the mic, gives the media something, which is, in my opinion, part of the job. If you're making $190 million or $85 million or $30 million or $50 million or $100 million or $200 million or $5 million, if you're being paid that kind of money to play in the National Basketball Association and you are being paid that kind of scratch, I think it is, without a doubt, it is required. It should be law. It should be automatic. No questions asked. No getting around it. You have to deal with the media. Without the media, they don't have an NBA. Without the media selling their merchandise, selling their sport, filling seats, creating interest, talking about it, doing the TV, doing the radio, doing play-by-play, talk shows, talking about their sport. Don't tell me they don't sell tickets. Everything happens. They run their ticket season ticket drive commercials all on radio and television. They show all the games on television. They run all the games on radio. Is that not the media? But that's okay. You use the media for what you want, but you don't want to do any interviews after? How about my ass? How does that sound? I think, for once, that Adam, skinny neck Silver should just have some stones because he lets them smoke dope and everything else, and he's players first, everything else. He should force them They have to deal with the media. No questions asked.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Appalachian State's moving. There's under 9 minutes to go. They're down to the 1 yard line, though. So, or roughly, looks like about the 1 yard line, something like that. They're really close to going in, but they're still down 24-10. So they got to score and get the ball back and score again. So they got a lot of work to do. Right now, they're trying to just make it a 7-point game. They're down 24-10. So anyway, back to Kyrie Irving. My point is simple. It's like I think. You know, if you look at it like the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball and the NFL, they require the players to, you know, do the interviews after the games, right? So if you look at Stanley Cup games, whatever, NBA playoffs, you know how it goes. They bring them into the dais. And they do the interviews. They sit there for 10 minutes. They're all miserable. They don't want to be there. They don't want to do it. They roll their eyes. They laugh at the media. They sit there like jerks. And they go through the motions and go through the process. And then they get out of there as soon as they can, right? That's what they do. So touchdown App State is 24-17. They're down 7 now. So they do it because they have to. That's the law of the jungle, right? So how is it that this guy... if it's even true, like, I don't even know if this is, you know, definitive and if it's documented, if it's a done deal, but he is basically, if it's true, like you saw today, I'm not dealing with the media. I'm not going to talk to the media. I'm going to play basketball and that's it. You know what? Screw you, dude. Who do you think you are? Like, you think you're better than everybody? You think you're what? You're smarter than everybody? What? Because you played basketball at Duke? We're all supposed to bow down to your holiness and you're not going to deal with the media and do your job. Do you know how much money they pay this mother Fereller? I mean, honestly, do you know how much money this guy makes? Bro, just do your job. Be a man. Answer the questions. You don't have to be pleasant. You don't have to be smiley and happy and be friends with the media. But you can sit there for 5 to 10 minutes and answer some questions after every game. That's all there is to it. I don't care who you are. So you're telling me, Mafia, that LeBron James will do the interviews after every game, soaking wet, tired, dead tired, on the road, traveling, bubble, or regular, you know, NBA season without the bubble, without everything, city to city, plane to plane, bus to bus. And he does all the interviews, but Kyrie Irving's not going to do them because he doesn't like the media. He doesn't trust the media to portray his story the right way. He's going to do it his way. Like, are you kidding me? Who does this dude think he is? Like, bro, I get it. You won a title because of LeBron. Okay, thanks. But what have you done without him? You know, besides nothing. What have you done without him besides nothing? And then you act like you're better than everybody and you're not going to deal with the media. Does that not bother you at all, Mafia, that this guy's like, I'm not talking to the media ever?
Yeah, it does. And you know what? I get it that there are definitely some media members and some of these talking heads that love to take things and twist them and, you know, get their headline out of it to make controversy and get ratings. But that's not why he's not talking to the media. That's not what they're doing to Kyrie Irving. That's not why Kevin Durant doesn't like the media. It's because they say stupid stuff. And then we call them on it, and they don't like that. They think they should be untouchable. Kyrie has tried to be LeBron and outdo LeBron and has failed at it because he didn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. Had to get out of Cleveland. Then he went to Boston and is like, oh, well, I'm going to lead this team, you know, to a title, and never did. And oh, LeBron made a movie, so I'm going to go make a movie with the dumbest premise that's ever happened, and that failed. You know, and then he gets moved again and has done nothing. So it's just he's always tried to one-up LeBron and never wanted to be in his shadow. And he's failed at it. He tries to be in the media like LeBron is. The problem is LeBron's a lot better at it. He's a lot smarter at what he says. He has his stumbles. He has some things that, you know, don't always go over well. But for the most part, he's a hell of a lot better because Kyrie says things like the earth is flat and we don't need there's not going to be a coach. You know, it's going to be a collaborative effort. And so when he says dumb things like that, we all make fun of him and he doesn't like it because he thinks he's better than everybody. So he's not going to talk to us anymore.
You know, Davis does interviews. I've seen Westbrook and Harden do interviews. I mean, they're both primos. They're both primo club. I mean, you can't deny that Harden and Westbrook are primo club. They're prima donnas. I mean, you can never – I mean, going near them is like walking into a house on fire. Like, it's not even safe to go near them with a microphone because you don't know what you're going to get because Westbrook can be a massive D. I mean, he can really be a massive D. You've seen him before act that way in the locker room where he's rude to the media. Now, I get it. I'm fair. I'm reasonable. I understand the media can be stupid, painful, irritating, weird, ridiculous, painful, all that. Fair enough. The media can be that way. You know, I've interviewed every athlete on the face of the earth, basically, Mafia, in my 35 years of doing this. And I think I'm pretty cool to athletes, and I think I'm pretty cool to people. And I think I'm, you know, I try to bring out the best in people. I'm not trying to irritate people or to be a D to anyone, coaches, GMs, owners, players, otherwise. I try to be cool to everyone, including media people, broadcasters, play-by-play guys, analysts, writers. I just try to be the same to everyone. I try to be the same to you, Carver High, bosses, everything. And, the stuff I said tonight about what happened to John Kincaid in Atlanta, don't tell me I'm wrong. Everything I said, I'm dead right about. It's not even funny. Bring me to court. I'm going to win. I'm going to win the argument because it's real simple. Everything I said is true. And you don't do that to people, right? Without expecting whiplash, smile, repercussions. You treat people bad, you're going to get treated badly in return of serve. So if you treat my friend that way, then I'm going to talk about your broke ass bad business deals and your broke ass company and your bankrupt ass company because you ran it into the ground because you think you're so smart when you bought it for $3 billion, you couldn't pay your bills and you went under. And you both lost your jobs because you're terrible businessmen. Sorry, I tell it like it is, but that's exactly what happened, Mafia. You know it's true. But I don't go out looking to do that to people. But it's okay for them to screw people over. It's okay for them to screw some guy that's been doing it for 20 years over. And I'm going to just stand pat and let it happen. How does my ass sound? So it's no different with athletes. I try to be cool to everybody. If you're a jerk to me, I'm a jerk to you. What was the guy's name that tried to get smart with me on here? Rory McDonald, was that his name?
Yes.
I can't stand that guy. I hung up on him, right on his face. I go, listen, bro, I'm over here promoting your fight. Screw you and your mother. How's that sound? And I hung up on him. You remember?
I do remember that. Yeah, very well.
I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I really don't. As you know, I'm a lizard. You know, I'm leather, bro. I'm a chameleon. You want to dance? You want to get nasty? You want to get ugly? You want to start name calling and being a D to me? I can be the most vicious person you ever met in your life. Dude, I swear to God, the Louisiana snapper just snapped a third snap over the punter's head. He did it again. He just snapped the ball all the way through the end zone over the punter's head. And it's the third time he did it. And he also did it on an extra point that was in a timeout. That would have been four times he snapped it over the head. Look at this one. It sailed 20 yards over the punter's head. This kid, the long snapper, number 49, he's going to, that kid, he's on suicide watch tonight. He has been the worst player I have ever seen in my life. He has sailed three snaps over the punter's head tonight, and one over the placeholder's hands. Too bad that was in a timeout. That would have been four times he did it in one game. Now all of his teammates are telling him they love him, and they're lying.
Is there no one else on this team that could grab the ball and throw it backwards? Like, really? We're not taking a chance on anybody else after what this kid has done?
But you have to admit, though, that he's horrible. Now it's 24-19. Now
they can win. Now
they get the ball and they can win. So what would it be? Let's see. 21-24. They'd win 26-24, and the spread was 2.5. And I told you I took the 2.5. So I'd win by the hook if they score. So here's the deal. They still have to score. Let's see if it happens. Right now, they're still up 24-19. But do you disagree with me about the treatment of people? Like, you've been around me for 17 years, and I never treat anyone bad unless they treat me bad. You want to go with me toe-to-toe and treat me crappy? I'm going to give it back to you in spades. So I just think Kyrie Irving's a D, and if he's going to not do interviews the whole season, then I'm going to torture him. I'm going to torture this guy. Like, I'm going to make it God's mission in life. I'm just going to just keep ribbing him and nailing him every single time. And if he does his usual injury season where he misses it the whole season, if the guy misses the whole season again and he's injured, I'm just going to do him six ways till Sunday. I promise you that. So what do you think, Moff?
I think it's a joke, and you know who's going to be even more ticked off about it than you are is the Brooklyn Nets, because no matter what goes on in this town, you're so often behind the Knicks, even when the Knicks are terrible, and now you got your top star who's saying he's not going to talk, and I'm sure KD's going to follow suit because he hates the media too after all the bashing they gave him in Golden State. So, you know, the Nets are going to be sitting there being like, really? All our quotes are going to come from Joe Harris and Jared Allen on this team? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you can't have two superstars playing in New York City and not deal with the media. Why'd you come here then? You should have gone to Orlando. Why'd you come to New York if you can't handle the big boy pants? Both of them are wussies. I think both of them are primo club. Prima donna, give them a parking spot and a locker and a free drink at the bar. Durant and Kyrie Irving are primo club. What a couple of wuss bags these two are. Javier said he was going to spend Saturday with his new bride and his new dog, and going to have the fire going and the lights dimmed. There was going to be some more, you know, after wedding romance and everything. And then he forgot that the Spence Garcia fight was at 9 Eastern on Fox pay-per-view. So he told her to go out with her friends, and he put the dog out in the backyard on a leash, a newborn puppy that is scared to death of lightning, rain. And meanwhile, it's going to just pour down rain all day tomorrow in New York City. And it's just the poor dog's going to be out in the rain as Mafia is sitting on his fat ass watching Spence Garcia. It's as good as it gets, the welterweight championship of the world from Jerry's World at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, right outside of Dallas. The truth, Errol Spence's hometown, fresh off of his 1 year ago drag racing Ferrari crash, doing a buck 5 on those Dallas freeways, drunk, allegedly. He still hasn't faced his maker in the courtroom yet on the drunk driving charge. I'm sure by the time that course is done, that four-course meal in court, he'll win, and the cop will be the one that was driving the car. Errol wasn't even there by the time, because when you got a lot of money, you're never drunk driving. It's just, it's not you. It's someone else. It's your mother. Anyway, he's fighting Danny Garcia, who's never beaten anyone that matters in the welterweight division. It's high time for him to beat someone that's a badass. And here's his chance. Let's see him knock out Errol Spence. I don't think that's happening. I saw him fight Thurman, loss. I saw him fight Sean Porter, loss. Then I saw Spence fight Sean Porter, fight of the year, win. All Errol Spence does is win. He's undefeated. The two losses by Garcia, great career, 36-2, whatever it is, fantastic career. I think at lighter divisions in the lightweight division, I thought he was a lot better. We'll see if he's man enough to handle this guy, Spence, who is the standard bearer in the welterweight division. Great undercard, great main event. Spence Garcia, you get to watch Angel Garcia act like a fool all night on television, pre-fight, after fight, everything else. He's just a train wreck. And then we get to watch the truth do his thing, which is all business. And he loves fighting at Jerry's World in front of a big crowd. And he's done it before against Mikey Garcia there. We'll see if he does it again. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on Fox pay-per-view. PBC's Welterweight Championship of the World. Al Haymon knows how to do it. Order the fight now through your cable operator or go to foxsports.com and order it. Boom. It's everywhere tomorrow night. Mafia is just going to desert his wife and put his poor little puppy out in the cold and rain and wind and scary lightning. Just an evil person, Mafia. I knew that he would pick the fight, though. I'm proud of him. Always pick the big fight over your wife and dog, like I do.
I mean, listen, I'm going to be on In-Game Live tomorrow between 9 and midnight. I got to make sure I'm locked in that fight. People got to know how to bet it and what to go as the fight is going on. I can't be sitting back here, you know, eating bonbons and, you know, sharing wine. I got to get locked in.
I didn't know you were doing In-Game Live tomorrow night. I had you more pimped out as a scotch, you know, and a doobie and like a bag of Doritos and sitting around farting and drinking and smoking and watching the fight in a dark, you know, lit room with a lot of smoke in the room. That's what I envision. Now I know that you're all business. You're going to be on TV tomorrow night. So you have to be sharp and on your game. Your wife's probably going to go out and find a new boyfriend and take the dog with her. She may not come home. You never know. You're so busy now doing TV and radio. And I mean, you can't even sit back and watch the fight and enjoy it. Who are you doing In-Game Live with?
I do it with KW every Saturday.
I knew you did it. You did it with KW, what, like last night, right?
Yeah. Yep. We took it from the weekends to the weekday.
That's great. So do you do it with him on both the weekdays and weekends usually? I can't keep track of everyone's schedule. There's a lot of shows.
No, it's usually just Saturday nights, 9 to midnight Eastern, where we get like the late night college football, now late night college basketball. And, you know, we've had a ton of UFC recently and a bunch of boxing. So it works out well with my love of fighting. You know, him and me are breaking down these fights as they're going on and watching these lines change and, you know, swing dramatically. It's fun.
So your boy KW is rocking the goatee now. Are you next to, you think you're going to grow a goatee?
No. We tried that, years ago. I had the beard. And then when I was shaving, I tried different looks as I was, you know, going back down to the baby face, and none of them looked good. You know, even when I look at the pictures now, the beard.
Yeah, I remember when you had a beard.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Yeah, that wasn't good. But at least you didn't look like Abraham Lincoln, like some of our friends when they grow a beard.
Yeah, I didn't have the Andrew Luck neck beard.
Oh my God, that was the worst. He had the worst beard ever. That was just disgusting, that dude with his neck beard. Oh my God. I don't miss that at all. Can you believe that guy wussed out and quit football? Seriously.
Listen, it's a tough game, and then, you know, he had some bad injuries there at the end.
Whatever.
He's supposed to come back, but, I mean, you went to Stanford. You're smart. You can do something else that you don't have to bash your head in. So, you know, maybe it's better off for him to get out.
No, that's not a good response. You would have just preferred if you would have just stayed with the, you know, he's a wuss. He had it all going. Everyone loved watching him play football. He was a great quarterback. Can you imagine how good the Colts would be right now with Andrew Luck healthy, let's say, and that defense? They'd be like one of the favorites in the playoffs. No one's afraid of Philip Rivers. My son makes fun of him because he says I throw the football like Philip Rivers. Like when we're out throwing the football in the yard or whatever, he'll be like, you throw the ball. When we're on the beach in San Diego, I'm like throwing him the ball. I throw perfect dimes, like just perfect. I just rake these beautiful passes, perfect touch everywhere. And he says I sling it like Philip Rivers with that little candy-ass arm of his. But, you know, he looks shot to me from 1 week to the next. I don't know if it's now, maybe it's his foot injury. Who knows? But like, you know, 1 week he'll look really good. And then the next 2 weeks he looks terrible. And we talked about him today. Like Dr. Chow wouldn't even talk about his foot injury because he's friends with him or something. I don't know what that's all about. But do you think obviously if Andrew Luck was running that team right now with that defense and Frank Reich, they'd be dangerous.
Oh, yeah, the last 2 years, and I think that's what, you know, I'm sure everybody in Indiana hates that guy. They probably loved him, wanted him, run for president type of love. And then now they're like, you know, he's probably can't say his name in Indiana without people spitting on the ground because of how he left that team. Well, you know, they were right there on the cusp of being AFC, you know, contenders for the last 2 years. And they left him with what, Jacoby Brissett, now old Philip Rivers. Like, Jesus. This team was built up perfectly and he just left him at the altar.
What do you think he's doing?
I don't know. Something we can do because we're not that smart.
So anyway, the Louisiana has the ball with 2 minutes left. And, you know, it's funny. They got the safety on the snap over the punter's head, but they couldn't do anything with it, App State. So if they don't stop them right here, they're going to lose this game 24-19. They need to get the ball back now. There's no time for first downs whatsoever. Now, I don't know how many timeouts they have left because they're like showing something else right now on the screen. I need to look at the game. They're showing the BYU game for tomorrow. They're showing non-Power 5 teams in the top 25. No one cares about any of that. Non-Power 5 teams. Cincinnati, BYU, Coastal, Marshall, Tulsa, Raging. None of them are playing in the playoff. Just stop. Show me the game. How many timeouts do they have left? They have to stop Louisiana, get the ball back, and score. And I have a feeling that's not going to happen. They just don't seem like, for some reason tonight, I guess the reason is Louisiana, that App State can't move the ball. They really can't do anything against Louisiana. And the ball's at the 28 of Louisiana, so they're not trying to score. They're trying to get first downs to win this game. So App State has two timeouts left. And the quarterback just ran. Now it's going to be third and two. And that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be third and two. They got to stop him here. They got two timeouts left, both teams. And it's at a minute 56. And I think one of them's called a timeout right now. I'm guessing it's App State. They got to get that ball back. If they don't stop him here, Mafia, on this third and two, I think the game's over. Then they can't stop the clock for the most part.
Yeah, this is the one that's going to pretty much seal it if they get this. This is a big play for them on this third and two. I mean, they have one more timeout, so they could stop it one more time. But if you get that first down, they're just going to be sitting there and doing their thing. I mean, you know, you have a little bit of a help with it getting stopped on first downs, but I don't think that, you know, the Raging Cajuns are going to sit there and, you know, get the play right up. They're going to take all the time they want.
So here's a guy in the church saying he thinks Steve Nash will quit before the All-Star break. That's not happening, okay? He's not quitting that job. You know why? Because he's got the cushiest job in the NBA. The guy's never coached a day in his life, and he's going to coach Kyrie and KD, Harris, Allen, LeVert, Dinwiddie. That's a loaded team. He's got a great gig. He's not walking away from that gig. He signed a long-term deal with him. I think he's going to stick it out for sure. I don't see that happening. Here we go, third and two. This is the play of the game right now. They haven't been able to stop this quarterback, Lewis, the whole night. I don't see him doing it now either. He's gonna roll left. They got him right where they want him. He threw it away. Now they got a punt. So they stopped him. They're going to get the ball back with a minute 51 left. They're going to have one last chance to move down the field and win the game. This should get really interesting. All right, Mafia, let's talk about tomorrow in terms of college football. I know that a ton of games have been canceled, right? Fair enough. And some of the ones that have been canceled, just, you know, in no particular order, Northwestern, Minnesota, Kent State, Miami of Ohio has been canceled, Maryland, Michigan, Buffalo, Ohio, Vandy, Georgia, Houston, SMU. That's not that bad when you think about it. It really isn't that bad. They have a lot of games tomorrow on the docket that are still going to be played. So Notre Dame and Syracuse, Ohio State and Michigan State, A&M and Auburn, Oklahoma State, TCU, those are all good games. Texas, Kansas State, and then Nebraska, Purdue doesn't matter. Penn State, Rutgers doesn't matter. Memphis, Tulane doesn't really matter at all. Arkansas, Missouri, same thing, doesn't matter. They're both losers if you ask me. Arkansas has done a lot better than anyone thought they would do, but they're still 3-5. That means you suck. And then I'm just looking, Florida, Tennessee. Florida 7-1 is a huge game. They need to win, get in a position to play Alabama in the SEC championship. Good game, West Virginia and Iowa State in Ames. Cyclones laying 6-0. I like them at home to cover that. What are they doing here? 4th and 2, they're going to go for it? They're going for it, Louisiana. Are they trying to draw him off sides here? What are they doing? I don't understand. Can you imagine how dumb this is? You know why they're doing it? Because they've snapped three balls over the punter's head. They refuse to punt now. So they're going to go for it. And then if they don't get it, oh, he's going to run it back for a safety, this guy.
What?
He ran it back into the end zone for a safety. Now he's running around the end zone, trying to knock time off the clock. Now it's 24-21. Why in God's name would you do that? Why would you do that?
Now he needs a field goal to tie.
I know. Why would you do that when all they need is a field goal to tie? Why would you do that? What were they thinking? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Can you explain that to me? Why would they do that? They were up 24-19. Why would you do that? That's unbelievable to me. I mean, how stupid is that? I just don't understand that move at all. I really don't. By the way, there's other games, obviously, of interest. Baylor, Oklahoma, Miami and Duke, Bama and LSU, Clemson and Vatech, Oregon and Cal. The best game, though, BYU and Coastal Carolina. Both teams are 9-0. That's going to be awesome. We'll see what happens here at the end with Appalachian State now. 24-21, they're down. Anyway, 24-21, 25 seconds left in a timeout. App State has the ball down three at around the 30-yard line, maybe something like that, of Louisiana. I still cannot understand for the life of me why they took safety, Louisiana, up 24-19 with the ball on 4th and 2. The quarterback ran Lewis back to the end zone, ran around in circles, and then they took the safety, making it a three-point game. They were up 24-19. Instead, they give them the ball back, down 3. They have the ball at the 28-yard line of Louisiana right now, which is within field goal range for sure. Now this quarterback's trying to throw it deep. He throws it away. It's picked off, but he's out of bounds, so still 20 seconds left. I don't think they need much more in terms of yardage, Mafia, to kick the field goal. It's not that far, and they don't have snapping problems like Louisiana does, so you'd think that App State would get a kickoff. I've seen him make a field goal in this game, two of them, so, or at least one. I've seen him make a knuckleball field goal earlier, so when it was like 7-6, they made one to make it 10-6, so I think they can kick it without much difficulty. It's 3rd and 6 now. This kid, Thomas, drops back again, throwing to the end zone. Oh, that's got to be a flag. They threw the flag. There's flags everywhere. They're going to get the ball at the 1 with 14 seconds left. This is unbelievable. I told you this would be a great game, right? So it was 2.5, and Louisiana's got the lead. And Louisiana was getting the 2.5, right? So App State was favored. We'll see. They're going to have the ball at the 14 at the end here. All right, you guys have a killer weekend. Sports Rage is next. Great job, Mafia. I'm Pharrell. This end of this game is crazy right now. You can watch it on ESPN or whatever. Enjoy all the games Saturday and Sunday. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for all my action in college basketball, college football, Pain Day Pro Football. All the picks are there. I think you'll dig it. I'll see you Monday at 4 p.m. East on Coast to Coast. Have a great weekend. Peace.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.